It was quite nice, but ladies, I'm seeing that I have to wrap up, and I'm being a bad girl right now. I'm supposed to close at 7. But anyways, this is Miss Chris and my lovely babies. We will see you very, very soon.
Have a good night.
Thank you for having us.
Love always.
Yes. Stick it out.
Yes. Well, the mumbas want me to buy a home. She say, she says, come on, daddy. Won't you buy me a home? Well, I had to love my mumbas.
Directions on how to use your radio. Find the power button. Turn it to on. Turn the knob to CKUT 90.3 FM. Relax and enjoy.
Welcome to Dragon Root Radio, feminist waves brought to you by CKUT and the Center for Gender Advocacy.
The Dragon Root Media Collective aims to bring you feminist content that challenges interlocking systems of oppression and makes space for voices systemically silenced. Dragon Root understands media as being inherently political and emphasizes media skill sharing as a form of resistance.
We meet every other Wednesday at 6 p.m. at the Center for Gender Advocacy and welcome anyone interested in learning or producing feminist media to join. No skills required.
Welcome to Dragon Root Radio. This upcoming episode is a Dragon Root archive.
Stranded in a snowstorm in a town. You forgot. I take advantage of a warm car and I recess my life. So many years I've given up and now you seem shy. I take my place among the truckers and I show them what I got. Told the stripper at the bar that the shots we got were magic. Make a wish now come true. As she smiled, a golden tooth glint in the light. And I want what she wished for. For you, they say everything is possible, but I know that it's not true, especially not when it comes to you. Dreamy colors, red and gold. I never meant to cause you pain. And sweet, sweet forgiveness, you can go back, but it's never the same. Is pressed against well, they're swallowed up in the vastness of the open night. Dreamy colors, red and gold. Forgiveness, you can go by, but it's never the same.
Today's show, we are joined by Jody Ann from CURE, the Community University Research Exchange. We are chatting about an event called Healing Through Generations, BIPOC Mental Health. Race, intergenerational trauma, and mental health have become increasingly popular subjects in Canada and Quebecois media. However, our social services system often do not reflect these specific needs. Systemic racism places a heavy weight on people of color that is rarely recognized in therapy, causing isolation and an increase of mental health symptoms. To combat this, it's imperative that systemic racism and the effects of intergenerational trauma be acknowledged and discussed in mental health contexts. So together, as a community, we can create a future that is sustainable and sensitive to the needs of marginalized folks, especially considering our specific context in living and benefiting from stolen land. The event, Healing Through Generations, BIPOC Mental Health, discusses all of this and more through a panel discussion, but here to chat more about it is Jody from CURE.
My name is Jody Ann Mucklin. I am the co-director at CURE Concordia. I started there in the fall of last year, so I'm still pretty new. So my interest was really that I like the idea of doing research in a way that isn't super, I hate to use the word academic, but super ingrained in academia and super like Thai vibes and super intense. I really like the idea of doing research that implicates the community, that gets people involved, that's accessible to people as well, especially to like racialized folks, to queer folks, people with disabilities, etc., different marginalized folks, making sure that research is accessible to us as well, because often we think about research, we don't think to include like a lot of people get left out. So when doing research, and oftentimes research is being done on marginalized communities without, you know, thinking about how it could be harmful or how, you know, like things like that. So really, I like the fact that CURE was thinking about those things when doing research, and that a big focus is community-based research and getting knowledge from the community, not like, you know, as academics being like, we know everything because we studied it, but, you know, taking into account that communities have a lot of knowledge and that people have a lot of knowledge simply from living, so, and living their experiences, and that we value those experiences. So that's really what I liked about CURE when I apply.
Amazing. And so for listeners who aren't familiar with CURE, can you tell us a bit, I mean, you mentioned a little bit, but can you tell us a bit about what is CURE?
So CURE is the Community University Research Exchange. So basically, we do community-based research. So I can show you a little bit. It's a bit complicated, so I can kind of give an example of how we work. Mm-hmm. So right now, we're doing a project on fighting gentrification in Point St. Charles. So what we do is we gathered like a team of students, student researchers, and community members as well who are interested in research. It's a volunteer position. They can get involved, usually about 4 to 5 students per project. And then we kind of we give them support to do the research that they need to do, but there's a lot of communication between the students or the community members that are involved in the project, so basically the volunteer researchers, and community groups. Because we didn't want to make it kind of like a big burden on community groups where they have to kind of like do a lot of work in following up, because we all know community orgs don't have a lot of time. But a lot of times they do have issues that they want to focus on, but they just don't have the time, the resources, et cetera, to be able to do that work. And so that's where we kind of come in, to get together a group of volunteer researchers to help guide them to meet the needs of this community organization in terms of research.
Mm-hmm. Amazing.
So, yeah, that's basically what we do. We also do workshops on research skills. We had one recently on like questionnaire design. We do different workshops like that. We have our event coming up. So we're also like involved in like events and things like that. But our main focus are our projects, definitely.
Amazing. So speaking of the events, Gears hosted a lot of really interesting and amazing events, but the one we want to talk about today was Though Healing Through Generations, BIPOC Mental Health. Can you tell us a bit about what this event is and a bit behind the motivation to host it?
Yeah, so I'm actually a student in social work at McGill, and my focus and my interests really lie in mental health and community, in racialized communities specifically, especially with Black and Indigenous communities. That's really my interest in terms of like supporting people of color, especially queer people of color, through receiving access to mental health services that are not only culturally competent, that are kind of based in their needs, and without seeing their needs through this through a lens that doesn't match them, right? Because a lot of times when we want to support people, we kind of do it through our own lens that often doesn't match up. And so my interest is really creating mental health services that are rooted in their needs and their experiences. And so from that, I thought it would be cool if we could have a discussion on mental health and what are the impacts of institutional racism on people of color. So it's basically a panel with different mental health professionals, all racialized, who will talk about their experiences working in the mental health field. There's also a student involved who's studying in mental health as well in racialized communities, and is going to be doing some work on that. So basically, I guess my vision behind it was really just to get some racialized folks who have done work or have studied in mental health services and can talk a little bit about their experiences doing the work, and also their hopes and their dreams. And, you know, I really wanted it to be more of a like discussion and less of a like, look at me, I'm a researcher and I have all this information or whatever. I really wanted it to be like a discussion where it's accessible to everybody, and that we can get a discussion going on mental health in racialized communities. Because often I've been seeing a lot that like mental health is coming up a lot, right? Like with Bella's talk and all these kinds of things, but they never talk about systemic issues, right? Like systemic issues often don't come up in mental health discussions, which is bizarre because systems cause probably the most mental health issues. And so that's definitely something that was my main interest behind the event, or like my thoughts in organizing.
Amazing. And what are, do you have any expectations or ideas of what do you think will come out of the conversation, or what are you hoping, will be some of the takeaways from the panel?
What I'm hoping is that really just to get racialized people talking about mental health, because it's often really taboo, and it's often the subject that we don't want to talk about, because going to like get emotional support and psychosocial services, a lot of times in racialized communities, we're like, oh, that's a white thing. Like, that's not what we do, right? And it's because like we've developed a sense of shame in our identities and our emotions and things like that, when really we shouldn't have anything to be ashamed of, because, you know, These are systemic oppressions that impact how we feel about ourselves and how we feel about the world. So what I guess what I want out of this is really just to have a discussion, just to get the topic out there, because I haven't seen it that much. And also just to create a space for people to ask questions about it and to, yeah, and to learn about what these professionals have to say with regards to their work. Because, like, I'm curious to know how they handle the systemic aspects of their work and, like, getting around different things. And I don't know, it would just be interesting to get their point of view and their side of things. So, yeah, I guess my main goal is discussion and also just to learn, to, like, help people learn about these things, because I think it's they're really important. And it's Black History Month. It won't be in March, but anyway. So, but the conversation can still carry. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And maybe this is too broad, but can you speak a bit more about, so this event is held with and through Concordia, or at mm-hmm. Concordia rather. So what, I guess, what are your thoughts on the importance of having these conversations specifically at and on campus?
I think it's really important, because hearing about the fact that a lot of students are trying to access mental health services, but they're super backed up, all of the dynamics on every campus across Canada, there's racism everywhere. And so I think, you know, encouraging a space that we talk about mental health where these things actually happen, like students are going through their own things and their own mental health issues and often can't seek support for various reasons. And so I think having the event there kind of helps maybe people who have been thinking about getting support, maybe that can encourage them to do that, or maybe give them some ideas in terms of, like, what kind of support they'd like. Because, of course, we don't want to just say, like, the only thing that's important is one-on-one, like, therapy or even group therapy. Like, specifically, therapy is not the only solution, right? There's many other ways of healing. And so also thinking about how can we heal intergenerational trauma, starting with ourselves individually and collectively as well. So I don't know, basically, yeah, I have, like, a lot of thoughts, but I guess, yeah, just to kind of get the discussion going on campus and to get people thinking about these things.
Mm-hmm. And looking or thinking beyond this particular event, what are some things you're looking forward to in your tenure at CURE?
Well, we are actually working on a mental health resource for people of color. It's something that I created as part of my internship when I was doing my internship at Project 10 as a social work intern. And so from there, we're going to be working on expanding it, hopefully solidifying it, because right now it's on a Tumblr, which I'll say it's bipocmentalhealth.tumblr.com. So it's bipocmental health. I did that. Anyways, BIPOC mental health. My spelling today. Anyway, bipocmentalhealth.tumblr.com. And it's basically like a list of different racialized mental health professionals doing different kinds of work. So there's like life coaches, there's different kinds of helping professionals. And so CURE really wants to, we really want to like work on that and kind of expand it and get it more solidified, hopefully get it to not be a Tumblr anymore, an actual website that's interactive and easy to use and accessible to for people, also to help spread it around. So that's something I'm really looking forward to. Also, like, our projects coming up, I'm always super excited about our projects. We have one going on this semester. We're continuing the Fighting Gentrification project. And then in the fall, we're going to have another one. So every semester, we're hoping to have at least one or two projects going. So we're definitely looking forward to those. So stay tuned on our Facebook.
Awesome. And speaking of Facebook, so for people who want to learn more, get involved, come to some of these events, where can they find you? Or CURE.
So on Facebook, we're CURE Concordia. So you can just, yeah, so we're CURE Concordia on Facebook. We also have our website, which is cureconcordia.org. And there we post a lot of updates as well. And you can also sign up for our newsletter there to learn more about our updates. You can also, if you want to volunteer, because we're always looking for some volunteers to help out. So if you think that's you, you can send an email to Jodie Ann, so JODIE-ANN@pureconcordia.org.
Thank you.
we're joined by Tamara Sandor, and you just heard the song A Thousand Holes. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
So to start off, can you tell us a bit about the album and maybe how it's different from your previous work?
Sure. The last album that I put out in 2014 was A Bower in the Arsacides, and it was a very different recording process. Daniel Jelena and I sort of co-produced it or made it over the course of a year, and we recorded in different spaces, and it was very playful and sort of it had a more experimental process. And it was my first time sort of engaging with the recording medium in like a more involved way, so I learned a lot from that process. And then for this one, I wanted to do like a more, I guess it's kind of a more traditional like studio process. That was my idea. So we recorded it at Break Glass, and my band at the time, there were two drummers. Daniel Jeannette plays on some of the songs, and John Carlin plays on some of the songs. And Pat Latre, and we were like the core, the bed track people. So we went in and did that over the course of, I think it maybe like 6 days or something like that. So yeah, that was different. And then I thought that I was like, oh, I guess that's how you make a record and it's done. Cool. And then I sort of, some folks listened to it and then they're like, oh, maybe it needs like some more, you know, fleshing out. Mm. Then I worked with Greg Burton, whose project is called Bantamwing, and he worked with me to do some more overdubs, like some strings that you heard just now on Thousand Holes, and Greg arranged those, and Sebastian played them. I guess Pat Cruvelier also plays some strings on there, but anyway, we just added more.
Mm-hmm. You said kind of moving toward a more traditional recording. Mm-hmm. That was your plan. So why make that switch?
I don't know. Maybe there are a few reasons. On the one hand, it's just that I'm like I feel like I'm a baby, so I'm still like trying things out. You know, I'm also like a, you know, in the Myers-Briggs test, I think I'm a sensor. The Myers-Briggs test is you know, it's a personality type thing. So there's four dichotomies: introvert, extrovert, which people talk about a lot. Intuiting versus sensing, which people don't talk about as much. Feeling versus thinking, and judging versus perceiving. So the one that I'm the dichotomy that I'm talking about is sensing versus intuiting. Like, so some people, you know, go into a room and they kind of already know what they want out of the situation, and they have a map of the situation in their mind, and they're sort of like scheming. I make this sound like it's like they're like sort of you know, bad or something, but no, I just mean people who know what they want. And then sensors like me go into a situation and are just like bombarded by data and sort of like take it all in and then go home and figure out what happened like after the fact. So I think that's the way that I learn things the best, is just by trying different things. And so it's the best, it's awesome, it's the best when I have the opportunity to try different formats, and still figuring out which is like, not that there's like a one, but which ones tend to work best for me. So mm-hmm. I didn't want to spend as long making this record also, just because I had an accumulation of songs and I wanted to get them like recorded and move forward in that way. So mm-hmm. that's another reason.
Are there, I guess, what kind of themes emerge in this album that listeners can expect?
I didn't write the album as a, which is something that I'm interested in trying in the future, but I didn't write the album with any theme in mind. It's not like I was like, I'm going to write an album about da 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 da. These songs all emerged kind of separately or independently. But upon reflection, more recently, I realized that the album is kind of, there is a recurring theme of, I guess what I came to call like self-defense, or like defenses. So like I named the album Tines, which is also the name of one of the songs on the album. And Tines, I guess most frequently nowadays we would use it to refer to like the tines of a fork or something, but it can mean any little pointy thing, really. That's like what it means. And so sometimes it would refer to like, it's a little bit of an antiquated word, but sometimes it would refer to structures on animals or something that like protect them, like prickly structures on them. Mm-hmm. And there's this sense of like ambivalence about self-defense. Like sometimes it's a positive thing, and then sometimes it is unwanted and it like pops up and takes over. So kind of stuff about, yeah, that about like barriers, boundaries, membranes, that imagery, sorry, pardon me, that imagery comes up a lot in it, I would say, yeah.
Get down to
up next is our interview with Daughter of the Moon.
I'm Daughter of the Moon. You're welcome to call me Natalie. And I'm a dream folk musician currently based out of Vancouver. My music, I love to kind of create a landscape of lyrics and sound with my music. A lot of imagery, a lot of talk about flowers and birds and animals. And then usually coming from kind of intentional messages that brew inside of me.
Mm-hmm. So your music, as you just mentioned, features a lot of kind of natural themes, flowers, birds, animals. Can you talk a bit about why that's the focus of, what draws you to that in terms of
I think, well, one of the things that I love about poetry and music is that it's something that you, like, it can be heard. It's not something that you can necessarily touch or see unless you're reading the words. And so I love just closing my eyes and hearing and playing songs, and because I have a very vivid imagination. So I find that, describing kind of different landscapes or animals or kind of beautiful places in my mind, it kind of brings me to that place of peace, I guess, or joy. So that's what I like to write about most, because it kind of inspires me the most.
Mm-hmm. For our listeners, you and me met actually at a yoga studio, and you were playing music for a yin yoga class. And you also are a teacher in Vancouver. Can you talk a little bit about, I guess, the that relationship for you between yoga and music and sharing it particularly in classes?
Yeah, I mean, yoga, I'd say it's whenever people ask me how I'm doing or what I'm doing in my life right now, like, you know, what's new? Usually I say music and yoga. That's it. Those are kind of my words. And I find, yeah, they definitely both, they link together, whether or not I'm playing music in the yoga class or if I'm teaching or if I'm practicing, or the same with music, practicing or performing. Yeah, it kind of, it allows me, both practices allow me to create kind of this bubble of safety and almost like this bubble of safety where I can really express what I feel and also accept what I feel, if that makes sense. And so I love being in both containers. And then when I get to play music in the yoga studios, like where we met, I love that even more because it's just double whammy. So.
Okay, so we're going to play one of your songs here on the show. Can you tell us a bit about the song and how it came about?
Sure, yeah. I'd like to share first the more of a chill song that I've had in my life for a while. It's called Hummingbird and the Wolf. It kind of talks about what we were just describing with animals and things like that. I'd say spirit animals are really important to me, and they come in and out of my life a lot with quite an important symbolism. So I love hummingbirds, and I love wolves. They both kind of symbolize these really strong animals in nature, very fierce. And I've been kind of experiencing that, just embodying my own self and becoming a woman. So that's the song that I'd like to share.
Mm-hmm. has a beautiful home with the earth all around her. Her heart is a hand that holds everyone who is dear. A mother inside.
Talk a bit about the music, I guess, industry. It's a really big word, but as someone who is in it and tours and creates music, can you talk a bit about I guess, like, any, since we're a feminist radio show, any like gender discrepancies that you've experienced that have impacted maybe like your creativity or just your ability to kind of express in that realm?
You know, actually, it was probably the thing that I experienced most. So I just went on a 2-month tour. I drove my car from Vancouver to the edge of Newfoundland and played shows along the way in different places and lived in my car. I had a bed in the back of my hatchback, and it was such a wonderful experience. But I noticed along the way, I had so many people. I mean, the more east you get, the more they'll ask you if your license plate seems way out of province. They'll ask you right away where you're from, and even at shows. And I had the interesting comment that I always had was, "You're traveling by yourself?" Mm. Like, I had some older gentleman in Newfoundland look at me and go, "Where's your man?"
Oh, wow.
I was like, "I don't need one." Excuse me. Yeah, so that was interesting. I wasn't actually expecting that to happen so much, and people were really, really surprised that I was traveling alone, like a young woman. And I don't know. It's a... Are we asking how I feel about that, or what are we asking?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. How does it impact you as a musician?
I'd say, yeah. I mean, I think it was cool because people seemed really impressed, and so in my own way, that makes me feel. It made me feel strong, and it made me feel brave and adventurous. But on the other hand, you know, it definitely made me feel a little bit almost disappointed that is not yet just a normal thing. Because I honestly do feel like if I was a man musician traveling by myself, I don't think I would have gotten so many comments about, "Oh, wow, you're all by yourself." Mm. And, you know, I wouldn't have gotten that comment like, "Where's your man?" And, you know, just, so it's, it personally made me feel good, but in the broader perspective, I wish and I hope for the future that that'll happen a lot more, and that'll become a normal thing to see a woman being able to travel by herself, yeah, mm-hmm. and tour.
Now you tour with the band Daughter of the Moon. Can you tell us a bit about... Actually, where does the name come from?
Daughter of the Moon?
Yeah.
So, there is a little story attached to that, actually. I mean, besides, the name resonates with me because I do, I love the moon. I'm really passionate about exploring and following the moon cycles as well as relating them to my own female cycles. And, I used to play under the name Natalie Ramsey as my solo act, and it was interesting because I found that my personal life and my music life were just so interweaved, and I was craving a kind of separation, and I was also craving for a name that would allow me to have those strong imaginary and visual visions that I have when I write the actual songs. So I was playing at my first music festival 2 summers ago at the Blessed Coast Festival in Squamish, which is a beautiful festival, very spiritual and full of beautiful people. And I was going around without shoes and a skirt, and my friend looked at me and said, "Oh, you're kind of like the daughter of the moon." And I appreciated that comment. I loved it, and it stuck with me. And at that same festival, there was a little bit of a mistake with writing my name on their billboard the wrong way. And it's kind of a funny name that they misspelt. They didn't say Natalie Ramsey. They said Natramsey is one word. And it made me kind of sound like a DJ or something. And I remember everyone called me that all week. If they still call me that, it haunts me, Natramsey. And I just thought, oh my God, let's just pick another name. Like, let's do Daughter of the Moon. And it just felt right in every way. And it's been good ever since.
Awesome. And what were, so you were on tour this summer. What were some of the highlights from your tour?
There were so many. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, the thrill of surviving, the thrill of driving across the country and seeing all the different landscapes. It's absolutely stunning. Even the prairies are absolutely beautiful. Although I'm biased, I'm from the prairies. But yeah, I'd say the people I met, I barely actually only had to sleep in my car maybe half the time because people would offer me a place to stay. I met some beautiful people that I feel that I'll connect with for the rest of my life. And a lot of musical contacts. Yeah, that just everything. And I love traveling, so it was just a thrill.
Was it your first time going from coast to coast?
It was. Yeah.
Okay. What was that an intentional decision, and why coast to coast? It's a long trip.
Yeah, it kind of just worked out that way. I started reaching out to different venues that I had noticed a lot of my friends had toured, I started with the recommendations. So I ended up booking a show. My first show that I booked was in Moncton, New Brunswick. And I thought, okay, great. So now I'm going to have to go all the way to New Brunswick. So I might as well hang out in the area. And then I met somebody who helped me get some shows in Newfoundland. So then that was it. It just worked out, and actually it was the space in between that I ended up filling last, the prairies. I thought, well, I need something along the way, so it just turned into a big ordeal and a big fun trip.
Looking ahead, what are you excited for or looking forward to developing in terms of your music trajectory?
I think right now, so yeah, for most of my life, music has been a big priority, but I think I've always focused on the creative side, and I've put a lot of effort into songwriting and kind of developing my own personal strength on the music side. So lately, the last year or so, I've been focusing more on kind of organizing and the business side of things, where, yeah, I'm booking tours and getting a team assembled of people, you know, to do more things like this, you know, do interviews and to, how do I describe that? Yeah, to get the music kind of out there, to send it out into the world, which does take quite a lot of work, and it does take a team to help. So that's what I'm assembling right now, and I'm really excited about it. It's definitely the other side of the creative brain. It's a little more mathematical and planny, but it's really fulfilling, and I'm learning so much. So actually, I'm so excited to be sitting down and doing that now, and that's the plan for the next year.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll end the show with one more song. Do you want to tell us a bit about this one?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to share, just, you know, in in light of, I feel, what your station is about. This is a song called Wildflowers, and it was a song that I wrote for a really beautiful group of different women in my life, including my own mother and some really beautiful best friends of mine who unfortunately in their life have had to suffer from abuse from male partners. And I know that I feel almost every female has some kind of connection to a story like that. And so I think the beautiful thing that's been happening in the world is we're starting to share our stories, and that really inspired me. So I wrote the song Wildflowers for that purpose.
You're a silent forest, you're a wildflower. You've been moving backwards into the wildfire, but you're a sharpened arrow, spearing hearts stone cold, and you're a red-winged blackbird perched up on the darkest of wars. He never gave you time or the space to soar, but you're a sharpened arrow that tried to spear a heart stone cold, and you're a red-winged blackbird perched up on the thank you.
people want to learn or find out more about Daughter of the Moon, where can they go? How can they support?
Yeah, you can find me anywhere online. I've got a new 6-song EP that just came out. So you can find me on Spotify, iTunes. I have a website, Daughter of the Moon Music. There's also a book out there called Daughter of the Moon. So if you can't find me, just attach music to the end and you'll find me.
Thank you so much, Natalie.
You're listening to Dragon Root Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We've come to the end of today's edition of Dragon Root Radio, but be sure to tune in next week for more reports on gender-based issues.
You're listening to Dragon Root Radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. We've come to the end of today's edition of Dragon Root Radio, but be sure to tune in next week when we have more reports on gender-based issues.
This is Kai Kello, and you, Kai Kello, and you are tuned into CKUT.
Pop Montreal International Music Festival is back from September 28th to October 2nd, 2022. 5 days of music and over 200 artists, including teen punk viral sensations, the Linda Lindas, Canada's first drag race winner Priyanka, 70s British funk group Simone, Grammy-nominated and Juno Award winner Alison Russell, iconic dancehall queen Sister Nancy, post-rock legends Tortoise, and many more. The festival also features film screenings, visual art, symposium discussions, and as always, many surprises. Get your tickets and passes now at popmontreal.com. A CKUT co-presentation.
Join Quebec Music Parallel for 3 straight nights of jazz and new music in Montreal. Tuesday, October 11th, the Yves Chaudhuet Trio, along with Marianne Trudel and Karen Young at the Lion d'Or. Wednesday, October 12th, Plante with New Person Les Oreilles and No High Banda at the Sala Rosa. Thursday, October 13th, Ivan Nonet and Mathieu Staller at Le Ministère. Tickets available on the venue websites, a CKUT co-presentation.
Cinema Politica Concordia is thrilled to invite you to the long-awaited launch of our fall 2022 season. Join us on October 3rd for a special screening of the award-winning film The Territory, a collaborative and deeply committed film about Indigenous land defenders protecting their traditional territory against encroaching deforestation brought by farmers and illegal settlers. Through dramatic landscapes and Indigenous filmed witness footage, The Territory highlights the global nature of Indigenous struggle for land and climate justice. On October 3rd, 7 p.m., room H110, Concordia's Hall Building, 1455 de Maisonneuve West. Venue is wheelchair accessible, donations kindly encouraged. CinemaPolitica.org or find us on social media. This is a CKUT Radio co-presentation.
You are tuned into CKUT 90.3 FM on Underground Sounds. I'm your host and voice from the beyond, Jean Neon, aka Johnny Void. For the show tonight, we have a special program of sorts. I'm promoting a show I'm performing and organizing on September 9th, happening at Lesco Grief. It is co-presented with Muffland and Analog Addiction. I will be performing duo with NAO at the show, but also in the second hour of our show, live in studio. First, we're going to have an interview with the headliner of the show, Elizabeth Balkus, all the way from Latvia. She is in the East Coast for, I believe, 5 dates. 2 of them have already happened. The Montreal date will be September 9th. We have an interview with Elizabeth Balkus in the first hour that was done on Google Meets 2 days ago. I did do an introduction for the show during the interview, but there are two things I need to mention. The first one is a correction on my part. In the interview, I say twice SDSM instead of CDSM. My apologies to the other act performing at the show, but it is Celebrity Death Slot Machine, so that is a C. I at least said that correctly in the interview. We'll be playing a track from SDSM.